Brian Jello on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Norton, Don Davenport with you.
Where is Buck Rising? Are we supposed to have Buck Rising now?
Yes, maybe his alarm didn't go off again. That happened one other time. Tennessee has relieved itself of Jeremy Pruitt, is one way I guess I could put it.
An interesting way to put it.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I said earlier that they lobbed their collective heads off today. Firing 9 people and an AD retires?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Chris Lowe said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody go at themselves that hard.
Well, and we'll see how much that helps them or hurts them, because I guess reports out that there were numerous violations, including level 1 violations that were found throughout this investigation. But how much does the fact that Tennessee has acted help them when it comes to NCAA, you know, drop down they're going to put on Tennessee? We'll see. My response was, you just never know when it comes to the NCAA. Hey, look who it is. Let me intro this guy with this. This is Buck Rising from A to Z Sports joining us. So I likened Buck the Tennessee kind of like fan base's mentality on their football program to the Indiana basketball mentality. Like kind of a similar thing. So Buck is an IU grad. You look at Indiana and you think our basketball program is phenomenal and we're great and we're wonderful and because of the history there, right? In reality, you guys haven't been great in a long time.
That's not what I think at all. In fact, I have literally just jumped from a Zoom with our friend Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel discussing this very matter for my podcast that will go out tomorrow. It is the exact same. I've been saying that the juxtaposition is so dead on between Indiana basketball and Tennessee football since the moment I got here and heard the first Brick by Brick. Like, Butch Jones is Tom Crean. Indiana fans think that they should be among college basketball's elite when they haven't mattered still since long before that I was born. Bobby Knight is just an angry old man shaking his fist at anybody that would try to get him come back to Assembly Hall. To me, it means nothing to the modern day Indiana fan. And listen, Tennessee fans, I've had a lot of fun today trolling people on Twitter, and I'm sure many of them hate me as a result. But I legitimately do feel for them, because it's just this never-ending cycle of crap time and time again. And then you watch the press conference for them today. I know that's not the thing that I'm here to talk about, but you watch the press conference for them today with Philip Fulmer. And oh my God, when he starts talking about how good the recruiting's been.
Yeah.
And you fired 9 guys for recruiting violations. Yeah. He probably, it's kind of like Drew Brees throwing to Alvin Kamara last night. The second he let go of that, he wanted it back.
I was howling watching that. Like, oh, the lack of self-awareness, it just perfectly embodies everything that everybody in this audience who loves this program, this college football program, this proud history of college football tradition that the Tennessee Volunteers are supposed to represent. I was texting with Jonathan Crompton, who played for the Vols earlier today, and he goes, I'm sickened. And I know so many.
Well, at least he had an emotion. At least he had an emotion. A lot of people are like,
numb.
My argument is, look, over the course of the last 12 years, what's been some of the most entertaining things in sports in this area? UT coaching searches is up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, listen, you had Titans AFC championship run. You have UT coaching, sir. I mean, it's up there.
Oh, my God. Yes. Listen, and I do not want to, you know, it's tough to celebrate somebody losing their job, and nobody's celebrating the losses of jobs, even though, you know, you get fired for cause you did something wrong. But it's the thing that's going to get me through the rest of the Titans offseason. Like, this is about to be lit, and I cannot wait for what kind of debauchery results in another Tennessee coaching search. The 5th in 12 years. It is so incredible how they find themselves in this spot again.
Look, lots of people make fun of the Tennessee fan base, and you know, for good reason. I don't want any of that coming from you, though. A guy who dressed up as a banana to support Indiana basketball.
That's true.
I made it in the Athletic. My the history of my drunken foray behind the basket as Christian Watford hit the game-winning shot to knock Anthony Davis and car salesman John Calipari out as the number one team in the country. While I was sedated with much Grape Karakov in my system, it is now chronicled in the history of forever, courtesy of Bob Kravitz of The Athletic. So shout
out to him. And when people watch that video, they'll also notice everyone in the building just went nuts when that shot went in, and you didn't react at all.
Except for the yellow banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the yellow banana, just sitting there sedated.
There's a song. I want to be sedated. All right, so Tennessee coaching search. How about Lane Kiffin? You want to go down the Lane train in Knoxville?
Oh, sign me the hell up. Are you kidding me?
See, I'm talking about.
In all seriousness, like, because you have to look at where they are as a program. And I know a lot of people who are listening to this would find it blasphemous for people to say, well, the Tennessee job is not a good job right now, but it's going to limit the number of candidates that you can get to come in for this job because of the pending NCAA violations that they're about to get hit with. Auburn just got dissuaded from hiring Hugh Freeze and ending up with Brian Harsin for the exact same thing. And that wasn't even related to their football program. It's because their basketball program is under investigation. Maybe Lane Kiffin would consider a job of this magnitude simply off ego alone. And given his history with the Tennessee fan base and the Tennessee program, I don't know. It's a really hard sell, but if he has any interest, even remotely, you go all in for this man. Sign me up for the Lane train.
I would make the argument at look at what he has in Oxford and what he is building and has already established there. I mean, let's talk about it. If you have a kid who plays offense in high school, who is a stud, and you're looking in the SEC, take out Alabama. Who do you want your kid to go play for? Who do you want your kid to go play in that offense in the SEC right now? Because every day my answer is Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Based on the sample size that you saw throughout the course of his first year, why wouldn't you? I mean,
with that quarterback coming back.
1,000%. They look like they are having so much fun. And listen, they made Alabama's defense look in shambles when they played earlier in the year. It was incredible. Now, obviously, Alabama's defense got substantially better throughout the course of the year. Nick Saban was very, very upset at the end of that game. But nobody sells it better than Lane Kiffin does. Like, Mike Leach is a character, the pirate, on and on. But there's obviously issues with the personality and the character that Mike Leach is up against Lane Kiffin, who understands how to converse with people, you know, who are high school kids coming into college with college kids in a way that is eminently relatable just based on his behavior on social media. And I know it's taboo, and I know it bothers some people, and I know he comes off as a troll. So what? That's what young kids will gravitate towards. They want to have fun. They want a coach who's going to work with them in more of a partnership type situation rather than your stereotypical, you know, I'm your boss, even though you're unpaid college football coach.
I mean, the guy wore an AJ Brown jersey off the bus when they were about to play Mississippi State because AJ Brown is from Starkville and ended up at Ole Miss. That was a huge deal. Hugh Freeze is the one that got him to come out of Starkville and not sign with Mississippi State and go to Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin is that professional of a troll to wear an AJ Brown Titans jersey off the bus to that game. I mean, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
My side gig is Tennessee Titans reporter. My full-time job is paid internet troll. And I so appreciate the job that Lane Kiffin does as a professional troll. I have a great deal of respect for the man. I don't think he'll come back. There's probably a number that would get him to come to Tennessee, but I don't think there's enough money right now. Even though they're getting off the hook by not having to pay the buyouts for
guys,
they just fired for cause.
That's huge.
And Butch Jones off the payroll in February, they got money to throw around, man. It's like Pac-Man at a strip club. I mean, it's about to get live up in Knoxville.
Oh yeah, just not the kind of live that Pac-Man does that can lead to a bodily injury.
Poll question today on the 3HL account: which Super Bowl matchup do you want to see? Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, our guest. Tampa Bay versus Buffalo or Kansas City, Green Bay versus Buffalo or Kansas City. What do you got? What do you think?
I think I'm the only person listening to this that's probably rooting for Tom Brady. Like, I love the
Are you kidding me?
I love the, because it's just, it's born out of pure spite for Bill Belichick, the way that this man at 43 years old is going to will himself. And yes, he has an incredibly talented team around him. The defense played out of their mind yesterday, even though Drew Brees looks to be quite a bit washed.
Can't throw the football, man. That was scary stuff yesterday. It was almost like watching Ben Roethlisberger at the end of the season where I came away saying, that dude's done. Drew Brees is done. We all know it. But, man, you really saw it there.
It was pretty jarring just based off the caliber of quarterback that we have known Drew Brees to be throughout the course of his career. And it's been trending this way all season long. Like, I know nobody listening to this probably is watching Saints games day in and day out. But, like, if you go back and watch the film on them, the greatest issue has been, can the offense sustain this way with Drew kind of fading at the end? And then Tom Brady does what he does and makes it look so effortless, even though he was under pressure. And I thought the Saints defense did a good job taking away the quick game. But I love the idea of Tom in a Super Bowl, and I cannot get enough for the Buffalo Bills. Like, it's the feel-good story of the year in the NFL with Bills Mafia and Lamar Jackson getting knocked out of the playoff game and Bills Mafia donating all kinds of money to his charity of choice as a means to kind of comfort him from getting knocked out in the playoff game with a concussion. Like, there's just so many good storylines for both of those teams. And I think it would be much, much bigger for Aaron Rodgers to get a second Super Bowl than it would for Tom Brady to get, what, his seventh. But I do think that I just cannot get enough of the Tom Brady storylines, and he makes it interesting and compelling every time he's on television.
Part of me wants to see the Bills win it all just to see what the Bills Mafia does the night after winning a Super Bowl. I mean,
if only we weren't in COVID to see that.
They're not cared. They're not going to care.
Jumping
out of trees into tables and downing fifths of vodka. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
See, what I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but I think that the global pandemic can keep Bills fans to a degree from inflicting too much bodily harm unto themselves. Because Dawn, I swear to you, when they were here, what was that, last season in Nashville, and that poor kid went flying off the pedestrian bridge, missed the folding table that he was trying to jump through, and just skidded his face across the concrete in a way that literally made, like, Jonathan Crompton was sick to his stomach watching Phil Fulmer today. That was the feeling in the pit of my stomach watching that Bills fan just absolutely. I mean, thank God he ended up being okay, although I don't know what the long-term effects of that. But I think that the lack of being able to gather in mass will help keep Bills fans safe to a degree.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports. So the poll question results, in case people were wondering, 40% of y'all want to see Green Bay and Kansas City. 29% want to see Green Bay and Buffalo. So that's almost 70% want Green Bay in that game. 13% Tampa, Kansas City, 18% Tampa and Buffalo. Ice Cube wrote about the Buffalo Bills after they lost their second Super Bowl in a row. And he said, "I won't choke like the Buffalo Bills," in a song called Wicked. You can go check it out. Old school. And then this is how great Ice Cube was. Then the Bills lost the next Super Bowl too. So when you timestamp something in a rap and it still survives the next year, that's pretty good. That's strong.
Oof. It survived much longer than the next year. It continues to echo throughout eternity. It's why Bills fans are naked in the streets, because they won a playoff game for the first time in the better part of two decades. Listen, I think it's good. I think the Bills, the way that they're constructed, and it's going to be huge because, you know, we haven't talked about Arthur Smith getting a head coaching job in Atlanta, but Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, he's going to be in Buffalo next year as a result of the team making it as far as they have in the head coaching vacancies, largely around the NFL being filled up to this point. There are still the two worst that remain, Philadelphia and the Houston Texans. But I think, I mean, the Bills, what Sean McDermott has been able to do there has been so impressive. From, and I know the things, the cliches like culture and all of these football coach speak things that we get fed as a means of legitimate like answers to questions that we have about things going on in the NFL. But that dude has done such an incredible job kind of pivoting from what the Buffalo Bills have been, which is a laughingstock, as you mentioned, a rap lyric, a joke in a rap song for the past 25 plus years, to get them to the place where they are. And it doesn't seem like this is a fading thing. Josh Allen, the improvement in the accuracy is so crazy. And it's not just because he has Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley playing at really, really high levels right now. What they have done is taken such incredible strides to where they're a legitimate player in the AFC right now. And I think if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you got to be a little bit nervous about looking for your next offensive coordinator. It's going to be able to keep pace with teams like the Bills and the Chiefs.
As we go toward free agency, Buck Rising with us from A to Z Sports, Corey Davis, I think, is going to get paid a lot of money by somebody else. I think he's gone. You never say never, but I think he's gone. Johnny Smith, I think, is a guy that they could target and maybe get back. Jayon Brown also in the where do you stand with some of this free agency stuff as we head toward that part of the season?
See, I think that a lot of people are looking at the wide receiver position and saying, well, if you just cut Adam Humphries and replace that $9 million a year contract with Corey Davis at $9 million a year, well, then you can make it make sense. But what people don't seem to understand, or at least largely based on my interactions on social media, which the internet is a dumb place, so maybe it's not indicative of everybody, but cutting Adam Humphries only gets you back about $2 million on the cap. Like, it's not like you just get to wipe away that contract. That's not something that's going anywhere. As a result, I think that they are better off drafting and trying to keep themselves more financially healthy without another big wide receiver contract on the books that's not named AJ Brown. Jonnu Smith's career has been largely inconsistent. And I know he's such a flashy, like, big play, big moment player that when he does these things, like catch a 63-yard pass on the first play from scrimmage against the Jags, like, he really, really stands out, and people associate that with kind of consistently good play. That's not been the case for him, and I understand that things that the tight ends were asked to do were affected by how bad the offensive line depth was at the end of the year, or how they were kind of struggling with needing to help the offensive line depth at the end of the year. But I think that that kind of benefits the Titans from being able to do a financially palatable deal for him. And also given the fact that all of the tight ends are free agents at this point, so you're going to be able to have a little more flexibility. If you don't bring all of the veterans back, draft a few, find an undrafted free agent, and keep one of your key pieces like Jonnu Smith and hope that he can develop even further. Jayon Brown, I thought initially that you could live without him with David Long. And I, going back and watching Game Pass the last couple of weeks since they've been off and I've had time to review film a little more, David Long is just too reactionary of a player that it's a detriment to you. When it comes to defending the pass, it's a problem with Rashawn Evans. It's a problem with David Long. And that's where you really, really desperately need Jayon Brown for this Titans defense, is against the pass. Because what David Long does is trigger better on the run than I think any player that they have. But he is so anxious to do that, that when there are play action fakes and run fakes, that it completely takes him out of the play. I think that it's just, he's not at a point where he's ready. And I think that you would like Jayon Brown to have a little more command of this defense as somebody who's tasked with being the play caller. But what the skill set represents right now is something that you cannot afford to lose, given what Rashawn Evans also seems to show as a deficiency.
Good stuff. You got internet work coming up?
Yeah, we'll have a primetime show tonight at 8 p.m. on the socials. At A to Z Sports is where you can follow us. We'll be talking all about Jeremy Pruitt and everything that has happened over the course of the day. And there is a lot of good written content being pumped out at A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Zach Reagan, our great Vols writer, has a lot of good stuff going on there. So keep an eye out for that at A to Z Sports.
There you go. Buck Rising joins us weekly Mondays at 5:15 or 18 or 19, whenever he shows up. I mean, had to.
That felt like such a shot. I'm sorry.
Back to your trolling, Buck. Back to your trolling.
Comes
Enjoy.
Out of a place of love, Buck. You're still the banana suit wearing Indiana fan to us.
Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
John Bryce coming up. ADs, coaches, Tennessee's in the market for John Bryce all over. That's next. 104.5 This is-
still working.